Well, this morning we're going back into, we're still in the area of our teaching, talking about really in due time, this understanding the season and time we're in, and God's bringing things along, and we want to hook up with the season. It's and what should we do is one of the things. One thing we had talked about, did some teaching on. We had talked about the fire of God, and then we went over and looked at what the fire of God was in, from the New Testament standpoint, and manifestations of the Spirit of God. And then in Jesus, Jesus sent his disciples out. One thing the Lord spoke to me about was, we need to pray for laborers in the harvest. God sends laborers, not man. We've done a lot of that in the church world. Many times the church is trying to bring revival instead of letting God. We got to cooperate with God. God brings revival. God, nobody comes to Jesus unless the Father draws them. The church got to get a hold of this. Your great speech, your great thing. You know, sometimes I've watched this. You can say sometimes to a person everything that they need to hear. They don't hear none of it. They don't hear none of it. Well, they don't. Well, it's because, you know, when you know, you got to find out when they don't hear it, that's when you need to shut up. God ain't drawing. You know, pray for that individual. Pray for that individual to God begin to draw them. Sometimes you're not the person they need to hear from. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned this. I'm the youngest in a family of with nine kids, and I learned this, you know. You don't listen to the youngest one. You don't pay no attention to him. You know, all the rest of them know everything. I never paid any attention. I told the Lord, said, you want me to go and witness them or do something? I said, you tell me, I'll do it. But I found out, you know, I just pray God send somebody along their path. Somebody, you know, God, you do this. And what we do is we're trying to do it. You know, there's nothing wrong. They go through things of how to witness to people and stuff. But you just can't go make it happen yourself. You know, revival don't come from man. Amen. You know, we ask God to do it. Why would we pray for God to bring revival if we could bring it? What would be the point? You know, we do in the church world, and I've heard this before in preaching in many years past, reading at people concerning revival, and I found this out. If God ain't moving in it, you can go through all your little hoops and jumps and do all your stuff and think you're doing a great job. But if God's hand ain't on it, it's all you. It's you. It's getting a move of God. Brother Hagin, who had experienced a number of revivals over the years in his lifespan, he talked to us about the fact. He said, you know, if the anointing's not there, he said, don't do it. You do things when the anointing's there to do it. You know, it says, you know, we don't know. The faith people, in other words, God taught us faith. But the faith camp got just over on the faith side and ignored a lot of other things in Scripture. The faith people have done. The faith people know very little about anointing. They'll know much about it. They don't know, understand about it. You know, years ago, I was in a meeting, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1983, Kenneth Hagin camp meeting, and Kenneth Hagin had Oral Roberts minister. And what Oral Roberts did, he didn't do a lot of preaching. Oral Roberts shared about the revival, the healing revivals of the past, about how God used him and what went on. And these, he talked mostly about the anointing. He talked about the anointing. You know, Oral Roberts, he would not leave his motel room or hotel room until the anointing was on him. He wouldn't go to minister. I don't care how many people. He had a tent that seated 20,000 people. He wouldn't show up till the anointing came. He'd tell, Lord, I can't go out and face the people without the anointing. See, we don't know anything about that kind of stuff. You know, and he said, because of the fact, Oral Roberts had a 20,000 seat tent, but he also had a smaller tent. And before he ever went in the big tent, he went in the small tent. And the small tent, he went in there to minister the sick, and these were people that were so dying and wasted. Some of them, he said, from cancers, their bodies, the stench. He said, just going in the place to minister. He said, that's where I had to go minister. He said, you can't face those people that anointing. He said, you ain't doing nothing. See, we try to do so much today. He said, I tell the Lord, I cannot face those people without the anointing. And you know, he said many times, he said, my driver would be pounding on my hotel room door, motel room door, said, we got to go. We're past time. We got to go. And he'd say, I ain't leaving till the anointing comes. I ain't going. See, we don't care about that. See, in America, it's about everything on time. We don't wait on God to get no anointing. We got to start the show, man. Get the dancing girls out. Let's get this thing rolling. You know, this is what we got to do. We know nothing about waiting. We know nothing really much about the anointing. Brother Hagin would minister things. I've learned this over the years. I have been anointed, and I've dealt with demonic powers already and that stuff. And I've watched demonic powers leave. But if the anointing ain't on you, you'll just be blowing wind. Number one, you don't know if it's a demon unless it's revealed to you. You can't look at what a person's going through to determine whether there's a devil there. You can't determine it that way. You got to know. You got to get, you know, you have to know it's a demon and not the person. I've seen people do the exact same stuff, and you'll have one person out there just doing the thing, and they have a demonic power behind it, and the other ones, it's just them refusing to follow in line and walk right. Like I always tell the story, I was at a meeting and that stuff, and a woman was thrashing around, rolling around on the floor. This big name minister's meeting. This woman's out there thrashing around, waiting in the lobby, and all these people are waiting to get into the place, and she's thrashing all over the place. There are people out there trying to cast the devil out of them. They sent some people from the ministry out there, and they're out there over this woman. And I'm on the inside of me, I just had inside me, this ain't no devil. This is her. You know, people like to get attention and don't care sometimes what it is. I've had to deal with this before. I had to deal with the church down in Lancaster. They asked me to come down to minister. They had a woman. They didn't know. You know, they're spirit-filled and everything else, but didn't know it was the devil or what it was. So they asked me to come down. I thought, why on earth did they ask me to come down? You know, so I thought, you know, go down and you want to help people. And they had this woman and they want a devil dealt with. And when I got around her, I knew she didn't have a demonic problem. It wasn't a demon. She was yielding things, but she didn't have a problem. She was trying to get attention. She was doing things to get attention. See, you might think that's weird. Why? People tattoo their faces and everything to get attention. People do all kinds of sick things to get attention. People today get attention. You know, they got to have, you know, everything just got to be right. When people see me, everything got to just look real good. And they say, man, I can't go out there looking like I can't do this and I can't do that. Get over yourself. People ain't as much interested in you as you think. You know? But we have this thing we got, and we're just so concerned about all this stuff. But and with that woman, I walked up and I walked up to her, and this other minister standing beside me, and I just walked up and said a few things to her about what she was doing. And she would go through all this thrashing and moving and stuff and things. And I said to her about there, why you do that? She said, oh, she said, that's the Spirit of God on me. I can't help but do it. I said, you can't help it. I said, that's interesting. You can't help it. Just God moves on you. You can't stop it. Well, if that was true, ain't nobody had ever backslide. You know, you just couldn't help but live right. You couldn't help. Has any ever missed it at time? Well, you must not be saved, because if God was really going to do everything right. Well, I realized I knew this. I knew she was putting on, and she was doing it to get attention. And I understood. Well, I felt sorry for her because, you know, she had her husband. You know, she had gotten saved and stuff, and out of really sort of a bad background, both of them, and he's still messed up as crazy, and, you know, I don't think he was really a great husband at all, and so she's just trying to get attention to people. She wants, you know, she wants somebody to care about her. There's lots of people. I met people and that stuff that fake sickness to get attention. Christians. They want to get attention from people. They want to, and I have some people want to, and I feel sorry for them because, you know, they just, nobody's paying attention to them in life and that stuff. And they just want somebody to care for them. Well, she is in that thing. So I was talking to her. She started into this thrashing thing and she started doing all this. And all of a sudden at the top of my lungs, I right in her face went, stop it! And she froze, man. I scared her. I said, I thought you couldn't quit it. You couldn't stop it. I said, you can. And I had to tell her, I'm just going to tell you this, that I know, and I'm telling you this. You keep doing that, you're going to end up possessed. And you won't be able to stop it. And they'll put you away. Yielding the wrong things ain't a good place to go. It ain't a good place to go. Casting out demons. Well, it turned out that woman, and we'll go back to that one, thrashing around the floor. I just didn't get a sense it was. And so they brought people out there, and everybody, You know, about 4,000 times, they would come out of her, come out of her. There's all this stuff in the name of Jesus, and it never happened. But they found out then, and she admitted that she was doing that. See, you want to know. You can't by faith do something you don't know. I've heard ministers do this, pray for a person for healing, and they said, if there's any demons involved, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. We ain't doing ifs. That's not a faith statement, if. If there's a demon involved, you have to go. Say, you just said you don't know if there's one there. You know, you might have to pray and seek God a while to find that out. You might have to, you know, a person to find that out. You need to know. I've had the things dealing with myself of praying for people or dealing with demonic. So I knew there was demonic stuff, but I knew the anointing wasn't on me to deal with it. I knew it wasn't. And finally asking the Lord why, and the Lord said, well, they know. See, some people are cooperating with what they have. You think everybody wants the devil out of them? No, they don't. There's people who like yielding to certain spirits. They like it. They find pleasure in it. So you wouldn't think it would be. You'd think that there's people who would like. There's people who live lives that are really bad and stuff, but they like it. See, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around. You can't get saved till you don't like it no more. You ain't going to have to change anything. You're as a Christian, you ain't changing anything in your life till you don't like the situation you're in anymore. It ain't changing. You can pray to God for it to change all you want. You're in control to give Him permission to help you change. But if you like where you're at, I've dealt with that woman. I've already, where the Lord's had me over the years, I prayed with somebody, say, in the areas of smoking and that stuff. Sometimes I prayed with people and people were delivered, and they were delivered from smoking. It wasn't because of me. It was the anointing of God. But I remember one time as a woman come and she said she wanted to quit smoking. That's before I was in full-time ministry, wasn't I? I used to minister to people sometime along that line. I was in the church I was in. And I laid hands on her. And as soon as I laid hands, sometimes this happens. Not all the time. As soon as I touch sometimes a person, sometimes if I touch them, I know. Sometimes it'll happen if I just stand before a person and all of a sudden I'll know something. And it's the fact of not, you know, it's not to hurt a person, but it's to find out. Because see, God don't just waste His time. See, we go through things of praying and doing stuff when nothing's going to change. It'd be good to find out, wouldn't it? Or maybe if what we're doing ain't the right direction in it, you know. You know, you can pray and pray and pray all you want. And if it isn't what's going to fix the thing, you're just wasting your time. See, how do you know that? I did it. I know about this praying stuff, wasting my time. When I touched her, I just know she didn't want to quit smoking. She wanted to quit smoking if it could just go away without her doing a thing. She wasn't using her faith at all. And I just stopped and said to her, I said, you don't want to quit smoking. She said, well, I do like it. I said, well, when you quit liking it, let me know. When you're tired of it, let me know. You see, everybody, you have to rise at this point. Nobody can have a change in their life doing their things they like to do. And they don't get, I want to leave this, I want to get rid. No, many people want to get rid of things, but I want to still like it. And I want, you know, I don't want any pressure. I don't want anything with me have to deal with this because it wouldn't be happy. It doesn't work that way. Amen. You know, we come to salvation because somebody tells us, you know, that if we don't accept Christ, we're under judgment. And they got to want to say, oh my God, I want to get out of this life. Not saying, no, excuse me, I want Jesus, but I love this sin in life. Well, you know what they're going to follow? The sin in life. That's what they're going to do. And that's the gospel of today. You can have Jesus and the sin too. Just go ahead. Say, no, it doesn't. You got to want to get away from it. You have to come to the decision. That's where Jesus said, count the cost. That's in everything we do. Count the cost. You know? If you don't want to, God, what is wrong with me that I don't want to change? Now, I need to change, but why don't I want to? Well, you might have to make some adjustments. See, many people are trying to get an end result without fixing the things to get there. You know, if I drive from here, you know, to, Pittsburgh, you wouldn't have to today, further than that. I think, like my van, I can drive from here and I can get out to almost the other side of Ohio. You know, you can drive some long distances, a gas tank's big enough and things, and you can drive. But if I'm going to drive to California, I'm going to have to stop at some gas stations. There's some things you're going to have to do along the way to get there. People don't want that. We want Christianity. I just push a button and I'm there. This stuff ain't my notes, but it's good.
Amen.
But understand what you're dealing with, people. And sometimes in ministry, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take a person from here to there without dealing what it takes to get them there. We just, give me the wand. I'm Harry Potter. You know, stand back. Hallelujah. I'm going to make this thing work. You know, I'm going to say my words over and wave the wand and it's all going to change. Well, I found out that Christianity wasn't like that. It had to suffer some things in the flesh. I had to deny my flesh some things. Have you ever had to do that? But your flesh. But see, you get yourself where you want to. See, I was an alcoholic. Now, number one, I wanted to quit. I couldn't. I don't know. I didn't have no idea how to do it. I was driven. See, you can be on in areas of driven. You can be, and it's me. I was bound. See, but I didn't know at the time. I was bound demonically. See, you can take some, they'll say, why is this person? They just can't. What is wrong? They don't realize lots of people, what's even over in drugs and things today, it isn't just about drugs. It's about the demonic powers they yield to because of being in that. A lot of drugs. That's why when you go out here and they have Alcoholics Anonymous and all this kind of stuff, they sit there and they tell that person for their whole life got to fight that not going back to drink. They got to go to those meetings. Now, thank God these meetings have helped people to go there, but there's no freedom in it. I know I'm talking to people about it. I worked with a guy and he was in that. He was always fighting alcohol. Well, I knew what he was doing. I knew what was happening. That's what I had. It wasn't till I got delivered. When I got born again, I was preached the gospel of deliverance, which is not preached today. All we got of God, you get saved and good luck for the rest of it. If God wants it, it'll happen. If God wants this to if God, and I knew, I was bound. I could not conceive. I said this to the Lord before I got saved. I said, if I have to give up drinking to get saved, I said, I could never get saved because I said, I can never see myself free. I said, I was driven. I don't care how I wanted to stop drinking. I couldn't. I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. I was driven. I didn't know I was dealing with a demonic problem. I didn't know that. I didn't know I had yielded to things. And I got over there and I'm yielding these spirits. This spirit's driving me. When I got born again, that spirit power was broken.
Praise the Lord.
And I changed the whole thing. All of a sudden, I found myself with, I wanted to drink. I mean, that was a phenomenal thing to me. I hadn't had that.
Amen.
You know? Well, see, I came through a church as a kid. You get cleaned up and accept Jesus. You know, if you quit this and quit that, Jesus, you get saved. You know, one of those jobbies. I went through that rut. But see, that's all I knew from a standpoint. It was from a kid we were told. That's why I said, the Lord, if I have to quit drinking, I can't get saved. And he said, who told you? Now this, the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, who told you that? He didn't say it in a sweet voice. It's like he was mad of where I heard that from. He wasn't mad at me. It was like, who told you that? You see, people need delivered today. This is why in a revival, we want people to get saved. But I tell you what, we need the power of God in a revival if we want to have something really to happen. There's people need delivered. Back in the 1990s, God wanted to start the deliverance ministry, and it got over it, and it got over it, got weird about it. And they started doing all this weird stuff and all these weird things about deliverance ministry. Deliverance ministry is just this. You learn to listen to the Holy Ghost and quit paying attention to half these people who don't know nothing about nothing. Follow the Holy Ghost. If you're going to minister to people with demonic problems, you need the help of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You're not dealing. You're dealing with spirits. Now, let me just say this. Now, there's one thing. There's manifestations. Brother Hagin, he used to, God used him in the area where he would actually see into the spirit realm, dealing with one of the gifts of the Spirit, that you can see in the Spirit, see the Spirit that's operated. Majority of the time, God deals with me with spirits of person. I have at times seen into the Spirit and seen a demon. I've had that happen, but me, it don't hardly ever happen. Most of the time, God, through a word of wisdom, I know. It'll just come to me. I'll just know. I don't know how I know. I just know. I just know it. Well, that can work through anybody at any Christian.
Amen.
To know that. Well, sometimes it don't come and know. Sometimes I've wondered for it. Sometimes I had sort of a sense it was, but I did. I won't move on something to I really know about that, because you can go in and cause more trouble in your what you think than you did. You could set motion in things and put things in people's minds that'll keep them from ever getting straightened out by telling them what we think. It don't matter what I think. I'd rather go with what I know. And I found this over the years. There's a lot of Christians that have demonic problems. They ain't possessed. Christians can't, but they yield to demons. But don't talk to them about it. They'll never listen to you. They don't want to have anything to do with it. No. I'm a Christian, you know. Say, well, then why do you think, too often things, people, why can't you figure you can't get straightened out? What do you think's going on here? How can you just keep going the same way? And well, you know, couldn't be anything wrong with me. See, wouldn't you figure there's something wrong with you? I decided a long time. I figured out sometimes there's something wrong with Ed. But there's a great arrogance among people. And Christianity, we have a problem. And today, people don't understand. Most time, people in ministry, they don't understand why people go through some of the things they do. Many times, there's people who they don't have bad intents in what they do; they're just messed up. They need help. Then you get there's people, they're just downright ornery and stupid, and just you know, you need the Holy Ghost to know who's who. You have to know who's who. You don't know who's who. That's why the move of God today comes along. It's like when Mike said about the hippie move, God bringing he brought the hippies in. See, the church, well, God ain't going to move among the hippies. They don't fit our category. You know, they can't get saved. They got long hair. They're wearing bell-bottom pants and dirty shirts and they're all this stuff and weird tie-dye. And, you know, God can't save them. My words, if we can just get them to straighten out, then maybe God could do something with them. I will tell you, God, if the church gets upset at a certain group of people, I just sort of think that God will automatically go to them. Church don't like it, I'm going over there, the church don't like it. I'm going to go reach them. You don't like them, I'm going after them. And that's the way he is. And God's moving today, and He's moving.
Hallelujah.
And He's moving for everybody.
Amen.
He's not only interested in the poor. The church has no interest in the rich people. They don't care what happens to them. They hate them. They hate them. Why? Because I can buy the poor person with a sandwich. I don't even have to be real spiritual. They like me because I give them things. I'm going to tell you this. Quit giving to the poor person and found out what happened. I've been in a number of churches over the years, and I can tell you about pastors. You get people where you start helping, come in, and they're just these, you always need help, always need help. All you got to do is find out where they're at on it. Quit giving to them and see what happens. They'll leave the church in 2 seconds. They're only takers. You can get a crowd of poor people and you're handing out food. Every time I do an outreach in Lebanon, the people, it's all food outlet. Let's go get them food to get them here. Hey, they have 47 other places that gives them food too. So don't preach to them. They won't be knocking at your next food thing. They done accepted Jesus 490 times. Now that's hard for you to believe, but I have seen it working with Kenneth Hagin Ministries at their camp meeting. Kenneth Hagin, the guy that was in charge of his security, had moved up the ranks from a regular police officer, lieutenant, and a sergeant, then a lieutenant, and he knew the Tulsa area. I mean, he had been there for years. He could sit around, he'd walk out the street, and like that time of street, people, you didn't have as much people living on the streets in those days around there. But he'd walk out the street, these guys from the missions. He took me out on the street one day up there because what he was showing to me in security wise, because I was in a position where I could minister to people, but it also was in a security thing. And so he wanted to show me about people and what's going on, which I had to look for. But he takes me out in the street. And he, oh, down there, that's so-and-so down there. Oh, so he goes down. He said, he's had more gospel sermons preached to you than you've ever heard in your life or ever preached. He said, he's been out for the last 50 years. He goes every day into the mission, he said, down there. And he said, he goes in there a meal every day, and you got to have the gospel preached to you before they'll feed you. Ah, he said, he hears them all the time. He's been at least 2,000 altar calls. But see, they found out, these guys, see, they learn how the church works. See, the church has a system that makes us feel good, and it works within our, makes us feel good, you know, and how we can do. And he said, now watch it. So he told me, he said, tonight at a meeting, he said, he showed me this guy, this guy, this guy. He said, you'll see them come into the meeting tonight. And he said, they'll come in every night. And he said, you'll always see them with some different Christians coming in. You'll always see it. He said, every night, you watch this guy, this guy, this guy. They'll come in. He would just show me some because I found out later, man, these guys are in here all over the place. Because what they do, they play on the Christians. They know camp meeting time. Get the Christians. Walk up the Christians. I need help. I need something. I need. And the Christian, I'll talk to them. And the guy will go to the meeting with us tonight. Sure, we'll take you to dinner. We do all this stuff. They know that. This is payday week. Camp meeting. There's millions of dumb Christians that don't know nothing about the Spirit. They don't know. All they see is on the outside. And if you go, so he comes with them in there, and every night, the altar call, they go down to the altar with that. And that person gets really, these people get really excited. And you know what they do then? Give them some money. And he told me, he said, watch this. Watch. He said, this is what's going to happen. You watch. Every night they come in, they got another suckers on the street. Oh, yeah. And they just keep doing it where they're at. Nobody ever listens to the Holy Ghost. And those Christians will go home and testify of how, oh, they helped this guy, and he went for Jesus. And the devil is rolling on the floor laughing. He just can't quit. They bought that. See, some people aren't affected by the gospel. They have the gospel, just another gimmick that they can use. People use the churches. I've had people tell me, well, you're a Christian, you're a church, you have to give me something if I want. That's what they believe. You have to give me something. I said, well, you're going to be real disappointed here. I said, because when you said those words, you just guaranteed yourself you'll never get nothing. You know, they walk around. That's their ideas. You have to do it. You're a Christian. You're required. I've had people tell. I'm not talking about being people street people. I've had people because you're a pastor. You have to do this for me. Call and tell you what you have to do for him. I say, well, just wait for it to happen. Okay, goodbye. Just see if it happens. They think because see this, there's nothing about a move of God. There's nothing in this stuff. The church has put itself around where it's up for sale. Now, thank God all the church ain't like it, but much of the church is. They're up for sale. You don't want to do that. You want to listen to the Spirit because this is one thing that the Lord spoke to me, because even in the church world, you're dealing in a church. Where I started out, and I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. You've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Basically, the Lord, he made this statement about Christians, and he called them spiritual vampires. He said, they'll suck the life out of you. He said, I was surprised when he said this to me, because I was young and starting a church, you know, from a church standpoint, and he told me, you watch for the spiritual vampires. And I thought, what on earth? Spiritual vampires? Gee. Today it'd be the walking dead, I don't know. But anyhow, spiritual vampires, he said, they will try to suck the life out of you. He said, you got to know who you can help and who you can't. He said, the spiritual vampires, and he said, you'll spend so much time with them, they'll just, all the time, they never get straight, never, and they're just trying to suck the life. And he said, the people you can really help never get help. He said, that's what's happening in the church world. He said, the people that you can help never get help in the church, Wilm, because the vampires get all the... In other words, we have the saying, the squeaky wheel gets all the oil. That's the church today. That's the American church. The squeaky wheel gets all the oil. The person who has the most problems, you can't be driven by that. You've got to be led by the Spirit and who you can help. Because you'll spend all... I've watched it already. I've watched them spend so much time and things trying to help individuals, and it did no good whatsoever. It just always stayed the same. They were always... You know, we had people here in that came here years ago from in our church, and that's what they were, just spiritual vampires, you know. Complete frauds about Christianity. Complete frauds. And, you know, at first, I did some things to try to help them, but I saw this. They had no interest in change at all. They really knew how to fake Christianity. They were good at it. But when they left the door of the church, and I caught them a few times, once they left the door of the church, they weren't acting Christian at all. And weren't playing Christian at all. They did things, and I found out that later on that the woman... By experience, I found out that she had a demonic power dominating her. And the Lord said, just let it alone. Don't mess with it. Why? Because if a person won't straighten out, you don't deal with it. She'll end up worse off than what she was. You got to learn sometimes, you know, about demons. You don't deal with them. If a person doesn't want to make a change, you don't deal with a demon in them. When Jesus cast the spirit out of the demoniac, he didn't do that not knowing what was going on. That guy was bad off if he didn't want to change things, and Jesus would have cast that thing out of him. It could have made the man worse than what he was. See, when a demon leaves a person and goes out, the scripture tells you what happens. That demon will try to come back. If that person don't do anything about straightening out, that demon will come back and it'll be worse. I have what? There's people I've seen ministered to it. I wish people would have never ministered to them because they got worse instead of better. Let me just tell you a story here, Kenneth Hagin. I maybe I won't ever get over the notes. I don't know. But anyhow, it's just a good one. Kenneth Hagin had a man and woman come to him. And this guy was, he was a professor in a college teaching criminology. And he had retired, but he got over into studying cases of people involved in child molesting. See, you need to watch the kind of shows and stuff and things you watch on TV and stuff, getting things in you. Things are spiritual and spiritual. He got over studying cases about that stuff. And end up, why? Because their spirits go with things. You know, don't do a study on evil and evil people and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what we do. That's why demons operate so much today. Because everybody's focused on the bad. Everybody's focused on the bad and evil all the time. That's all they do. We shouldn't be surprised people are possessed. That's how you get it. You keep looking at the demon stuff and get it. After a while, you'll yield to spirits in it. People end up doing exactly what they're criticizing them for. We're criticizing them for their evil and that stuff and what they say about us. And now the people, Christians, can't shut up saying the same thing back to them. Same spirit. Well, I got to tell them good. Yeah, that's the spirit they got. I got to tell them good. And what happens? Well, this man, he got over to where he was having trouble wanting to molest kids. In fact, I think he had gotten into some things, but he came to Kenneth Hagin, him and his wife. And Kenneth Hagin said, in ministering to him, he said, the anointing coming, he said, he had through a word of knowledge that he knew that there was three different spirits this guy was dealing with. But this is what he told the man. He said, now this guy was a Christian. He was a spirit-filled Christian. See, people get over this stuff. Because you got baptized in the Holy Ghost one time and you got saved or whatever and all that. That don't mean you're going to walk. You always got to protect yourself against things. But he told him this. He said, I'm just going to say this. He says, you're going to have to spend, and he told him how much time he wanted him to spend in the Word every day, reading the Word, and how much time praying in other tongues. And he said to the man, he said, I'm going to just tell you this. If you're not going to do that, if you don't want to do that, he said, I will not deal with these spirits. I won't do it. He said, you got to promise me that you're going to do this. Because the guy was at the point his wife was going to leave him because of what was going on. But he told him, this is what you got to do. So in other words, he had a part to play. God anointed Kenneth Hagin to cast those demons out. But he said, I won't cast them out unless you do this. Why? Because he knows if the guy don't, it's going to get worse. See, many people want to change as long as they don't have to do nothing. You're going to have to do something. You know, as I've learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and I learned it from him, and I found that it's real truth. And you tell people, they come and say, you know, pray for me that the devil will never bother me again. And he said to the guy, well, you want me to pray you die? No. He's going to come back and bother you. You know, and people get in. It's a shame. I watched, there must have been about 5 or 6 major ministers in the United States that you mention the names, everybody knows who they are. And they were standing around these pallets of prayer requests. And I don't know how many thousands, because you take paper stacks. Now, they're just paper stacks. And I bet those pallets were stacked this high. Now, you know the size of a pallet is and all those. And they have pallets of them there. I mean, how many prayer requests? I don't know. And this big name minister steps out and says, we're going to pray for you guys and the devil will never bother you again. And I said, is he going to pray that all them people die? And I said, no, he's a hoax. He don't know nothing. See, when men think, I mean, read the Bible, what the Bible says in dealing with demons. We don't. We have our ideas and we have our things and we don't read Scripture about dealing with demons. You know, look at how demons were dealt with. Look what goes on. Jesus said, I didn't do anything unless I saw the Father do it. Well, he didn't cast demons out unless he saw the Father do it. He didn't go around, he didn't cast the devil out of everybody who had a devil. My God, the whole nation would have got free. But the whole nation didn't want free. See, we got to get in our minds about things and that stuff. We can't walk this Christian walk without Jesus. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is the revealer of Jesus. You can't go without Him. See, we should set ourselves, and I don't do anything unless I see Jesus doing it. We have our ideas and our things. We have from the standpoint of ministry. Hallelujah. What we need is fire. Manifestations of God. That's the fire of God. That's what we need. We need in ministry, especially in ministry, you need the anointing. This is why people follow men today. People are looking for a redeemer. Christians are many times more interested. I've sat in meetings and listened to God use, you know, a certain person 27 times and only ever mention the name of Jesus once or twice or if at all. Somebody else is more important. Somebody else. No, Jesus is at the top of the list of this thing. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. I don't have, per se, a ministry except under the head of Jesus Christ. I don't have one. Without Him, anything. I've learned over the years. I mean, I am not interested in people's thoughts and ideas. I want the revelation of the Holy Spirit. If a person isn't speaking by revelation, you know, Paul said, I come to you, I speak by revelation and by knowledge. And by, we have a lot of wind blowers today. They come speaking. But they don't know much. People don't know much. I am astounded. And I mean, I'm honest with this. If I'm smarter than these people are, we're in huge trouble. I mean, it's just... I think, dear Lord, I've learned this over the years. To get a big ministry, you don't have to know nothing. There's certain things you can do to attract people. You can learn how to get to people's lusts of the flesh and get them to follow you. If you know how to hook, and it may not seem like real bad stuff, but it makes people feel good, it makes them... You know, you just start preaching, you're just all right where you are, and you just have Jesus always, He loves you, and you'll just be okay, and everything will be all right. People get the point that the truck runs over them every week, but they still love to hear that. Tell me I'm all right. It's the battered wife syndrome. Tell me what I want to hear, even though I know it ain't working, but just tell me I'm okay. Say it to me. My life never changes. Nothing's ever, but just keep telling me it's going to be all right. Just keep telling me Jesus loves me. He does, and he's probably weeping over what's going on. We don't have the changed lives we need. I didn't get a special changed life. The Jesus I met changed the boy's life. That Jesus changed my life. Ed didn't change his life. Now, since I'm born again, I found out how to change the way I think so I can live in this changed life. But I didn't give me the changed life. It didn't come from me. Hallelujah. It came from Jesus. And see, you have a changed life. You just have to learn how to live it. Hallelujah. You got to dislike the things that are hurting you. Do you really? See, we're living in a nation right now that people don't dislike the things that are hurting our nation. In fact, they're jumping on board to have more of it. See, we want change. If there's not a move of God, it's staying the same. People are insane, and the devil will make you nuts. You believe his lies, you'll stay in the same bondage. There's Christians that are just bound mentally by demonic powers and believe certain things, and they're just going to stay on that path. They don't get free from that. They're under demonic oppression. People under demonic depression, there's demons involved. See, if I take a drug, what I do is I take a drug that don't let my brain work like it should. So I feel better, so this drug's really helping. And the devil's still laughing. He's still there.
That's right.
And you better take that drug as much as you can, because as soon as you quit, you'll be as flaky as you were. You'll have the same stupid thought. I always thought this, why doesn't, if somebody's brain don't work right, do they become great, nice people? Why don't we ever have that? Somebody's brain malfunctions, they always act like hell. Why? If you tell me you couldn't have a brain malfunction and you'd be a real happy go, ah, man, boy, just the nicest guy in town. See, if you do have a brain malfunction, I'll guarantee you the devil's visiting you.
Mm-hmm.
I found that spirits always get, when they find a weakness, and they find a weakness in a person, they come. They come and they'll taunt that person. They come and bring their stuff. If you're feeling bad, they'll bring worse feelings to you. They're going to bring... They can find a weakness. That's the devil. God's not looking for weakness. He's looking to give you strength. He's looking to give you ability. That's what He wants to do. That's why you want to listen to the Holy Ghost. That's God's side. God's side is to strengthen. When weakness keeps coming and coming, you got to stop and say, hey, hold it. Hold it. What's going on here? Quit patting yourself and pampering yourself and stop and say, where am I messed up? Mm-hmm. Not, well, I got to get somebody to do something for me. Let somebody else, you know. Pastor, you come and fix it. You seek God and find out. Come and wave the wand while I do what I want. Make me feel better in my sin. Well, it is. People do. They look for somebody. Why is it? But people, why do they call the prayer chain usually? Most people, you know, they might need some help in the areas of prayer. But a lot of people are trying to get somebody to do what they won't. People try to, I've had people try to get me to pray for them when they didn't pray for themselves. And I just tell them, no, I have no interest. When years ago, we were at Sunday night prayer services and stuff, and this woman come up to me and asked me to pray for such and such. They never came to any of the prayer stuff. And I said, are you coming to the prayer thing tonight? No, we have such and such. I said, well, we won't pray for it. Forget it. I said, if you ain't going to pray for it, I could care less. I ain't interested. Truck runs over you. You called it in. No, you do the praying. Call the prayer chain. Get them to pray. While I go fulfill the lusts of my flesh. I'm not against prayer chains. There's people sincerely go and want help in prayer and do. But I'm just going to tell you what. You'd be surprised how many don't. They're looking for somebody else to take. You seek God and then give Him to me. Do you ever have family and friends that do that? They don't have nothing to do with God. Every time they get in trouble, they call you.
That's right.
And this is what I always say. Why are you calling me? See, I don't go along with this butter stuff. You know, you calling the wrong guy for that. Why are you calling me? What are you calling me for? Well, I need help. Well, I said, you needed help 20 years ago. What's that got doing? You need help. Why are you calling me? Well, I got a problem. Hey, you've had a problem for 20 years. Why are you calling me? You want to give me the problem? What is it? What are you calling me for? Well, I need somebody to do it. I said, no, you don't. I said, you need to do something. I said, I can pray. And I said, I'll go to bed tonight and yawn and go to sleep, and I'll wake up in the morning and you'll be as dumb as you were yesterday when I prayed the prayer. Because I said, you're not going to change. Mm-hmm. You're looking for somebody. See, the Lord told me, he said, don't you ever counsel people who don't come to church. Mm-hmm. He said, and you need to understand this. He said, the Lord said to me, he said, your best counseling was your teaching anointing when your anointing is on you to teach the word. He said, if they won't respect your gift, he said, don't counsel them. Because I found this out. He told me that after I did some dumb things. Because you find out you can never help those people. They just tell me, give me something here that I could just get over my thing and get back to my life. And people, when you come and talk to you, yeah, good Christians are coming. Hey, will you go talk to so-and-so and they have problems? They bring them to church. Well, they won't come to church. I said, well, that's their problem. They didn't really need the help. Another thing you'll find that I do at times, people will call and say, you know, could you come pray for so-and-so or something? I said, well, they want me to pray. And I'm Christian. So I said, I don't know. Well, I said, until they call me and say, the Bible said, you call for the elders of the church. He didn't say, get somebody else to do that for you. See, people keep trying to get people stuff that ain't really after to get it. It's a waste of ministry. I tell them, say, if they want me, tell them to call. Don't you like with Jesus? Are you going to call on Harry Schwartz down the street and get saved? No, you call on the name of the Lord. You call on what? They're not. They have called to nobody. They get somebody. You go do it for me. You call. You try to do something. Get me fixed. And people buy it. What they want to do is come to me. Then if it don't work out, I'm the problem. They don't want to have to tell them the truth. They keep sweet talking that person instead of telling them, no, you're in a mess because you won't do right. They won't love me anymore if I do that. My son will be mad at me. So what I want you to try to correct him because we haven't. Oh my God, this is good preaching. Hallelujah. This is why you're going to be led by the Spirit. You can't. We have Christianity has all this stuff that they call ministry. As today, we could sit down and say, look how ministry has failed to really change things. Why? Because we've taken over the ministry. Get back, Jesus. Go sit down. I got this taken care of now. I just if you need any help, Jesus, you let me know. I'll give you a hand. Yep-er. We got programs, man. We got it all. Hallelujah. You know, think about this on Pentecost. This is over toward even some of the have some notes here. But just think about Pentecost. You know, this is one of the major things that the church misses about Pentecost. The whole point of Pentecost is this. That people, because why? Wrong believing of Scripture. They say, the day of Pentecost is when the church started. No, it didn't. They were all born again that were sitting inside that room. They believed on Jesus and raised him from the dead. The day of Pentecost was the power to minister. It was the ministry. Jesus said, don't go any place. He didn't say, don't go anywhere till you get saved. Did he say that? Go read it. The church has made up its own Pentecost. It has its own Pentecost. It's not Bible Pentecost. He didn't say, go down there and wait till you guys get saved. He said, you guys don't go anywhere till you get power. The majority of the church has disobeyed Jesus. And I don't care how good people did, they've disobeyed Jesus. We have ministry without power. There's no fire in the ministry. Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. No, we'll just preach a God. The gospel today is get saved. That's not the gospel. That's part of the gospel. I had the gospel. One of the reasons I got delivered and I got set free because I was preached a gospel of deliverance. That Jesus delivers. He heals. He does the whole thing. That's the gospel. That's the true gospel. I watch people. They just get saved and the devil runs over them for the rest of their life. The devil kills them and they say, God took them for a reason. I had one of my nephews say that to me. He's a Christian, but sometimes I don't know where he's at in his Christianity. I think he landed on Mars somewhere. But he said to me, which he's quite a bit younger than me, and said to me, you know, he was having some medical problems, and he says, well, maybe Jesus would want to take me home. And I said to him, what on earth would Jesus want you other than we don't even want you here? I told him. I said, you hear us, stupid jerk. I said, go say that to some sinner somewhere and ask them to love your Jesus. I said, what on earth are you talking about? I said, what would Jesus do with you there other than you would annoy other people? You see, there's got to be a lot of love in heaven to put up with these idiots that are showing up. Folks, it's good preaching. Heaven must be a wonderful place because it's putting up with a lot of dummies when they come. I'll tell you. Right, now just think about this. What does God need you there for? The devil ain't there. There's no sickness there. There's not this all this trouble going on there. And the average person that goes there knows about this much spiritually, so what kind of help are you going to be? You say, well, God needs them there. And I just hear this, what for? You couldn't lead by faith with that because you wouldn't know what it was for. You could have no faith for it. I mean, but people throw this stuff out here. Let's make an excuse. While I got run over for the truck because I was playing in the road. Must have been the guys who built the road's fault, I guess. I don't know. Maybe somebody. Somebody's fault out there that I got hit by the truck, but it couldn't be me playing in the road. Now, most crazy, the average Christian's like a deer. They will not cross the road till a car comes. Oh, believe me. That was it. On 422 down from our place, we get deer hit all the time there. There's always a deer laying out there, dead. Open field on one side, and there's a car on the other side with a bank up here. But they're always getting hit there. I was talking to Wanda about this. I said, you know, they get hit at night. And I said, 422 at night hardly has any traffic. I said, they must stand on the road and say, here comes a car. Goes, wait, hold it, he's not close enough yet. Go, you can't go! I said, it really takes something to get hit by a car on 422 at 3 o'clock in the morning. It'll take you an hour, wait a minute. It's not easy to do. Now, a lot of Christians are like that. They're out there saying, oh, they're just waiting for that truck to come. Here it comes. We'll just keep doing this. Don't stop doing that. No. He's getting close. He's almost here now. Yeah. Because we had, I'll tell you, there have been so many deer hit there. I mean, it's phenomenal. And it's all open there. Straight road. I mean, you got to work to get hit by a car. I mean, a human would have to work at it. I guess they've just gotten perfected. They see lights and it's like, ooh. That's a lot of Christians. They see something that's cool, what they think's cool. It's like, ooh, I'm just going. The Walking Dead, you know. So looks good. We're going for it. Hallelujah. Well, they were good illustrations. See, we've got to smarten up. You can't keep going back to what's hurting you. It'll keep hurting you. You know, there's many people, I've seen people do this, and the Bible even talks about it. People who go, it's like a dog going back to his vomit. God delivers them, and they go back to where it was. And I can just tell you this. He said, you know, and people need to understand this. When you're delivered from something, you go back to it, it is much harder to ever try to get out of it. That's a Bible principle. That's a spiritual law. You go back, and it's harder. Why? You got delivered. Many times your spirit's involved. And what happened? You go back. And now you got more than one spirit you're dealing with. It gets harder and harder. And God's going to have a greater expectation in you doing something than somebody else. See, we need to know. That's why growing up spiritually is so important. You see, if God said, told the church, He didn't send anybody out in the church to do nothing without saying, get power. Get the power. That was for everybody. See, and get this in your mind. Quit looking at ministers and themselves about power. It's about you. You have no need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost other than power. That's what it is.
Amen.
It's about the manifestation of God through you. See, you got to get that. We have to get that within the church. I guess that was in the 90s. They had what they were called power evangelism. Oh, and they got criticism. They even got criticism from the Spirit-filled church. Boy, there's power evangelism. What that was about was this. Going out with the power of the Spirit. Ministering to people in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what the church started in the beginning. That's what they were. It was the power of God. The guy healed the gate. Beautiful. Peter said, hey, this didn't happen because of me being great. That's faith in the name of Jesus. See, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and recover. In His name you cast out devils. See, you do this stuff. It comes through Jesus. See, the church doesn't operate in that stuff. That's for some minister somewhere. That's some preacher somewhere. He's supposed to do that. And then when something happens, what do? We haul people to Him. Don't do out till you get power. See, I was just so glad because I got that message when I was preached to about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just thought that Ed was going to have demonstrations of the Spirit would happen through him. I just expected. I had faith for it. If you don't have faith for it, it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
It don't happen just because you even got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You have to have faith for it. This is what most people, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost and we want to go to a church where the preacher got the power. And the Bible says that I'm supposed to preach the word. You're supposed to do the work of the ministry. We have it all reversed.
Yep.
And we're saying, God, move. And He's saying, why don't you get in line? Why don't you get in line? See, I can't imagine Christianity without the Holy Ghost. I can't conceive it. I can't conceive Christianity without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, I can't see me living as a Christian because I can't see that I could be any success in anything. What I need to be able to do in here, I can only do through Him. It's like when Keith Moore had the thing where, I guess it started off, he was reading the scripture, without me you can do nothing. I think that's where it started off at, is Keith, something along that line. But I heard him tell the story, and this happened to him. Of Keith Moore, you know, in his ministry, really good teacher, was really known at that time as the fact God would just give him music. I mean, he would sit down. He was never a guy like learned how to play piano. The Holy Ghost. He was one. This is a really gift of the Holy Ghost, and he played, and he would sing. Just songs would come out of him, and he was singing them, and they were good songs. They were good, inspired of the Spirit, and like thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, and those songs. They just come out, and he'd sit down and play. God would move through him. And he was a good teacher. I had him at Raymond as one of our instructors and loved his classes. He was anointed by God to do stuff. Well, see, you get over an anointing, and you know, it's one thing is people need to understand this. You and the anointing, you can walk so close to the anointing, after a while, you begin to think it's you. See, this is why you got to always keep a division between you and God's working, because it won't. What happens? It's like anything. Somebody does something, and after a while, they can do it pretty good. After a while, you know, they forget about the fact that all their training, what it took to get them there. After a while, they pat themselves on the back and everything else, and they forget about anybody else that got them there or whatever it was. People do that, and you can in the ministry. Many ministers have done this. Many big-name ministers do this, and it's because they get used. If they get used powerfully by God, they got to be very careful. You've got to keep Jesus in, hey, this thing ain't me. This is His working. I've learned to do that. It's His working. Without Him, I can do nothing. Well, Keith Moore, boy, I didn't want to go through the lesson he got. But what did he have, like 3-4 days or something like that? Where he got to the point he wanted to commit suicide. He couldn't do nothing. He said I lost the ability to do it. He said, I couldn't play the piano. He said, I'd go sit down at the piano. I didn't even know where to put my hands on the keys at. He said, I had no inspiration of nothing. He said, if I would try to preach, he said, I'd sit down and read the word, and he said, it would just be like nothing. He said, it started driving him crazy. What's going on? What's happening to me? He said, I finally got the point. I wanted to commit suicide. He said, this was driving me mad. I couldn't do so. I couldn't think right. I couldn't do anything. And then the Lord said to him, he said, without me, you can do nothing. See, that's a real thing. The church don't know that today. That is not a revelation in the church. American church, we're doing things without him. It's like the Chinese minister who came to America. He was tortured in Chinese prisons and everything else and he came to the United States and they hauled him around and took him around to churches in America and he took him every place. And I have his book and he says, they took him out and they got him to, they took him to Los Angeles Airport to fly out. Now he wasn't flying back to China. He got out of China. But he was flying back over into Asia because he was still ministering over in Asia. And they asked him, they said, what do you think of the American church? He said, I'm just amazed all you can do without God. People don't even know today. We're blowing our horn. This is why there must be a revival. There must be a move of God. Or Jesus comes. And this is what happens. Many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my coming. People need God. People don't think they need Jesus. Why? I can go tomorrow without it. If God don't bless me, the government will. Or I can sucker somebody else into it. Or I can get my parents' money. Or I can get somebody, this will do for me. And I'll get this, or I'll get that. They don't need Jesus. People don't sit down and ask God for some things anymore. They sit around and ask somebody else for it. They go to people. See, I found out when I got saved, God started to deal with me and teaching me in the areas and that stuff and wouldn't even allow me to tell people what a prayer request is. He said, you pray. He said, you ask me in secret and I'll reveal it to you openly. I'll give it to you openly. You learn to stand. See, thank God we can come to each other because the Bible does tell us we can pray and agree. But see, people are doing that and they're coming. The average time that I mostly have ever prayed with an individual on a prayer of agreement, it never turns out. Because they're coming and asking an agreement. They're asking, they think if I have faith, then it'll work for them. Prayer of agreement don't work. They got to have the same faith I got. We all have to have the same faith of the thing we ask for. If it isn't there, it ain't working. I don't carry you. Jesus carries me. You got to get on Jesus. And they're not. They're trying to get from people, and we don't see in ourselves. And I don't blame people because they're not being taught. You know, they're just taught. Well, if you have a problem, just call us. Send me a check and call. Oh, no telling what God will do. And that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You know, I know this from a fact of that. His life was changed. He realized that without God, you can do nothing. The power that holds things together in this entire universe is God. You can sit down and learn all you want to about how gravity works. They know what gravity does, but they don't know why it does it. They don't know where it comes from. I do. The Bible says that God's the one that holds everything together. I'm going to tell you what. This, everything, if God threw the switch, everything else, everything in the universe would cease to exist. See, through education, we've left God out. We become smart. No, we need God. He's the guy holding this thing together. We exist today basically, mostly on mercy. His great loving kindness. He is so good. And when you realize that, humble yourself in the fact, many success that I've had, for anything we got, God has allowed me to do. That's where it's at. We got to get ourselves over. It's not my great faith did this or my great faith did that. I wouldn't have it if he wouldn't have gave it to me. Faith comes by hearing the word. It don't come from me being smart. Don't come from my intellect. Many people are intellectual faith people. They believe they're believing, but they're just intellectual. It's not from their heart. It's not thing. See, my heart, you go down to my spirit, there's this strange being down there. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he's in union with my spirit. And out of my spirit, see, well, he's the one that makes this faith stuff work on the inside. You get hooked up with him. He's in there with you. He's the revealer of the word. You wouldn't even know what it meant if it wouldn't be for him. You would have no faith if he wasn't the revealer of it. He's the revealer of it. Oh, my, my. See, this is why. Don't go anywhere till you get the power. Don't go anywhere. That's what we're waiting for. See, people are praying for revival. God, we want power. The Spirit-filled church is praying for God. We're supposed to be the ones. Renew us so we get back over in the power we're supposed to be. The Spirit-filled church, get back to the power thing. That's what we want. Look, God ain't mad at us. He wants us to take a hold of it. And it's a lot easier than you think. It comes down to this. You got to change the way you think. I was just glad I had the gospel preached to me the way that it was, that I believed. But most people, they separate the baptism of the Holy Ghost from there. And the whole thing of the Holy Ghost was about tongues. That was all it was about. The Holy Ghost, it's about fire. Tongues is a way to charge up the battery for fire. Amen. Tongues don't do you any good if you ain't got no fire with it. What good's the tongues? Mm-hmm. Tongues is how building yourself up on your most holy faith. Well, I just believe in salvation. I believe I'm saved, and the preacher, I'll pray that God uses him mightily. I pray God will demonstrate something through him because I ain't got time for it. See, you got to over. You have to want this. Comes down to a thing. You have to want it. It just can't be handed to you. There's a part that we play in it. Revival is a wonderful thing because a lot of people end up in what they never thought they would. And it ain't because they were so cool at it, though a lot of them begin to think they are. You know, like they were real. God comes and dumps himself out on people in spite of them. That's one thing I like about revival. Even the dummies, good things happen to them. And then, see, I have seen a lot of this in ministry to people. Coming out of, when they... during the charismatic renewal, there was a lot of moves of spirit. One of the things of charismatic renewal, during that time and things, and people started getting over the word and understanding about faith in the word of God and things. I mean, it was the easiest thing getting people healed. It wasn't nothing hard at all about it. I mean, we like our full gospel business meetings. I mean, people got healed all the time. People got healed, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. That kind of stuff took place. That was a common occurrence. You'd go to meetings during those days. My words. I mean, just like somebody just, you know, show up and he's on the other side of the room and you said the name Jesus and they got healed over there. I mean, those things, that's the way things were going. And we had that kind of stuff. Well then, but what happened was this. Many people, after things started to cool down, and what they did is cool down because of people. They didn't cool down because of God. Because what God demonstrated to people what he wanted to do to them, but he expected them to start learning. Many didn't. Many didn't. And over the years, I'd have people come to me and say, I don't know, I got saved back yonder and that stuff, and I got healed and all this stuff, but I can't get healed today. And they say, why? Like, it's some kind of great mystery. I said, it's no great mystery. You didn't get healed back there because of your faith. That was a move of God. During those days, God did all kind of things with me. It was God working. It wasn't Ed's great faith. It was in a move of God. And people were doing things and stuff, and it was a downright move of God. And I said, but I learned this, that you had to develop, and there's things you have to learn to develop your own faith in, and you have to do that yourself. They didn't, see. They got something without working anything at it. Just like you do today. You give somebody money all the time, and they don't ever work for it. Don't ever expect them to go to work. They ain't going to work. You keep giving them something. You know, just forget that job. Giving them something. Because, you know, you want to give it to them, go ahead and give it to them. But you quit expecting them to go to work because you ruined them. And see, in faith, God won't do that. And they come to me and say, I can't get healed anymore. I said, this ain't nothing to figure out. I said, you've done nothing about developing your own faith. I said, you're like the rest of us when we were baby Christians. God did all kinds of things through us. And I said, as I grew, I started looking back and thinking, oh my God, was He ever merciful? He did all these things for me, and I was this weenie over here. I thought I was really smart, but I look back and I think, oh my God, He was so good to me. He did these things, and I wasn't even close to faith. But just because I had a desire to do what's right, amazing the things He did. That's just, and He'd do them. You know, it's like the baby when they're first learning to walk. They're falling and you just run over and pick them right up their feet again and get them back around. And that's what God was doing to Ed. He's picking the big baby up and standing up. And here I run to a Christian. They've been saved for 40 years and you're still picking them up, standing them on their feet, and they're still whining. And they say, I don't understand why it don't work. Let them stay on the floor. So you got to grow up. And I told him, I said, you didn't get healed. I said, you got in your mind that you were some kind of great faith. I said, you didn't know the mercy of God. You didn't know how God works. You never found out. It's just merciful. And I want you to understand about this move of God that's starting going on. This is the mercy of God. It ain't because you're just calling on the name of the Lord. You're just coming, like I taught about Gideon. You know, they called on the name of the Lord, but would not give up their idols. This is Christianity Day. God, come visit us! But I like my life the way it is. I don't want to change. Man, I got my idols. Don't ask me to burn them. I mean, think about this. It says they were calling on the name of the Lord. You look up, they were calling Jehovah. But Gideon's own dad had an altar, a Baal, and an Asherah pole. Calling on, hey, Jehovah, deliver me while I worship these guys. That was Israel. That's a picture of it. Revivals come in spite of us many times.
Amen.
You know what? God looks down and He said, you know, just merciful. I mean, think about this. In the last day, Israel, when Jesus Christ returns, the Scripture teaches this. God said, He come back and deliver him. He said, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for my name's sake. In other words, I promise to deliver them. I'm going to do it. They don't deserve a thing. They don't deserve none of this. They haven't followed me and walked me. But I'm going to deliver them because I said I would. Faith people know nothing about that kind of God. They think God only moves because they're so full of faith. I'm going to tell you, God moves because He's full of mercy. He is merciful. We ain't near as bright. And I'm not knocking about what we know. Thank God for what we do know. But I want to tell you what we know compared to Him ain't worth spit. He's holding this whole thing together. He put a physical universe together that we can't even imagine. We can't imagine something. We look out there, light shows up here, and it came from someplace out there billions of years ago. We have no idea. They say, well, there's this planet out, or this star's out there. That star might not be out there at all.
Right.
That star might have burned out, you know, 500 billion years ago. No, say, there's this star out there. Wake up, space cadet. I thought you were the scientist. You just see those light particles just kept coming down through there. I read an article here just not long ago, and they asked these two scientists who they're doing a lot of study in that stuff, and since they put this new telescope up and these guys are talking about it, and they ask him the question about how far, because every time they get better telescopes and better equipment, they see things that are further and further away. And you get out here with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of light years, and they're talking this stuff. And they said to them, how far do you think it goes? And they didn't really give, the guy who wrote the Lord said he really give an answer right away at first, and he said they sort of like looked at each other and talked, and they concluded this fact. They said, we don't know. It may never end. See, could you ever think about that? Could you ever think that, see, this is what's hard to figure. This little ball down here in comparison. I mean, it ain't even a good dust speck. You and I are walking around on here. And in all of this universe, in this minute thing, God carried out His plan. And the world keeps looking out at all what they think are big things. Even the church, what's the big thing? And God in the corner changes everything. That's what I love about my God. It ain't how big I am, it's how big He is. He can take a little idiot, turn him into something. See, you got to get this out of your mind. How great your education, how great this is. No, it's the greatness of our God. And this little minute speck that people from out there, they don't even know it's here. I don't know why somebody from another planet would want to visit this. What would you want to come here for? If you had good sense and you could have good technology, what would you come here for? You just come down and laugh, watch the idiots? With the idea, are they enemies? Now, if somebody did come from another planet, folks, well, what do you think we're going to do? Yeah, I mean, people have no imagination. These people think about it. If somebody can come from another planet down here, they have energy sources that we can't even conceive or think of in our mind. It would require, to come from another solar system to here, it would require more energy than our Earth, any energy's ever produced on our Earth from the beginning of time. It would have to produce more than that to travel the distance. Oh. It's funny they don't tell us that. You know, we ought to put them on a ship and send them to Mars. Tell them, climate's wonderful, have a great time. When you get there, you're going to love the beach. Oh, my. It's so nice there in the daytime that actually in Mars they found out that water would form in areas at night, but it never turns to liquid because it's so hot it vapors and goes into a from ice to a vapor. It never turns into liquid. Never. I can't wait to get there. This is going to be exciting. We're going to take baths. Don't worry. What a plan. You can just be freeze dried. I love this thing with you people because you sit and look at this stuff and you hear this stuff over there. There's scientists that are saying things that are so absurd and so stupid if you look at real science. But the media pumps what they want you to hear. The government pumps what you want to hear. You know NOAA, which is the National Oceanic Atmospheric, you know, all that junk. Anyhow, their test, and they said, since 2015, the Earth's temperature has not increased. It is actually decreased some. Gee, isn't that what they preached us at the time? They published that. They just published that. This guy asked a question in that period of time, and he figured out how many, in that time period, from there to where we're at today, how much carbon was pumped into the hydrocarbon, pumped in the atmosphere, how much, he figured it out to how many tons it was. It was astronomical, this figure he came up with. He said, how come it didn't get warmer? If this is what we're doing here, trying to stop, how come it didn't get warmer? They didn't want to talk to him about that one. You know, we're not going to discuss that. He said, the people on the Earth have been, it's being pumped out, and we actually, where do you ever hear that it's gotten cooler? They keep saying, this is the hottest we've had, and this is the hottest. They keep saying it. It's not true. None of it's true. But you know what? They have an agenda they're pumping out. And if you don't know God, you're as dumb as they are. That's it. If you don't know God, you're as dumb as they are. See, I don't believe what people say anymore just because they say it.
Amen.
I don't believe. I can find things out. I can study too. I've learned this. I don't believe a doctor just because he says something. I don't care if I'm going to him. I don't believe because he says something, just because he says something. They're just like everybody else. They're just like me. I have limited knowledge. I don't know everything. But we worship them. They say something. We just jump on the bandwagon. This certain group of people, mine, they got it. And they're missing it more than a little bit. And it's proved. Our science is terrible. What they're telling us. And you never hear them say they're wrong. Why? That's one of the great faults. The smarter you think you are, the less chance you're going to ever admit you did something wrong. This is why we're dealing with what we is today. Nobody wants to give an inch that anybody's wrong. On both sides. Nobody's wrong. We just got to get over ourselves. There needs to be humility come again. where we've missed it, we've missed it. We need to tell God. We need to talk to Him as Christians. Where we missed it, stop down and say, Lord, I just ain't where I'm supposed to be. I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to be. See, you can sit and fake it and ask for faith to do things. But you got to come to the place. You know, God is waiting for His people to need Him. We don't really need, many don't need, they aren't asking for a need for Him. They just want what He got, what He can give. It's not based on the real need of things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to have communion this morning because we're in fellowship with God. And that's what communion's about. And I want you to get a hold of this as we're going to take communion today. There was something that the Lord wants me to share. And I want you to get this, especially from the standpoint. We're believers. It's important that you understand you have a covenant with God. This is the reason God moves. If you look back at Israel in the past, when you look at them under the law, God moved because those people had a covenant with Him. Even in spite of their stupidity many times, He moved. We understand we're covenant people. And God moves for His covenant people many times. But He does it because they have a covenant with Him, and He extends Himself toward them because of it. And understand that about yourself and that stuff. See, we got to get over and look at this stuff in humility. As a fact, thank you, God. You know, in spite of me, you're moving. In spite of me, you're doing things. But I want to share something with you. The Lord spoke to me about this morning after I got here to church. I was just praying to the Lord about some things we're having communion. Communion is about fellowship, and fellowship isn't something that we're doing just right now. This is part of fellowship. The communion table is to remind us about fellowship. Doing communion itself don't give you any fellowship with God. It doesn't. It's what it reminds you of. Communion is a wonderful thing that was established, and was established by God, not man. Was the fact to remind us to fellowship with God and our fellowship with Him. Because why? That's just Paul talked about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. See, there's a fellowship that you have with the Holy Spirit. I've learned this over the years that without the Holy Spirit, I don't have a real fellowship with Jesus, because He's the one that makes that. He's the one in the earth that makes Jesus real to us, who is seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And we're here, and Jesus is alive in us through the Holy Spirit. That's how He is. That's why you have to know the Holy Spirit. There's no one. People say, "Well, I want to know Jesus." Do you know the Holy Spirit? No. Well, then, until you get to know the Holy Spirit. So our desire is to know the Holy Spirit. That's what you want to do. You want to know the Holy Spirit. Learn to know what's inside of you. You know, many people don't know what this. Many times you have an intuition to do or not to do. We bypass it. Well, this has happened or that's happened, but I get a sense in me that I've had people after events have happened, and they'll say, "Boy, I had a sense that was going to happen." Well, then why did you do what you did? You bypass what was in you to not to do. Now, I know I'm the only guy that did that. You guys never did. But I'm just telling you from my standpoint, okay? But there's one thing that happens. Many people have overridden their intuition so much they don't get much of it anymore. So you can, the Bible talks about, you know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit by not ever, don't listen. Inside of you, you get an intuition to do or not to do. And, you know, don't do that. Just keep bypassing it and that thing. And it's learning knowing. It's one of the things that I really set myself to do, is to learn the Holy Spirit as a teacher. I really set myself, because allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me. I figure if I'm going to be ministering the Word, I need to know Him in that so He can teach. Or it's me. He needs to be able to show me things. He needs to be able to bring things to me. Amen. He needs to be able to bring things to me where I am not tied to what I think would really be, see, because you can overthink, and we sort of talked about this in witnessing to people. You can think what they really need, and it ain't what they need at all. You look in the natural and say, "Well, they really need this," and that ain't at all. God knows what makes a man's heart tick. He knows what every one of us, what makes you and I, makes our hearts to tick. This is what's so beautiful about Him, and why you want to, because He knows how to work with me. Amen. He knows how to work with you. I'll guarantee you, God don't work with you the way He does me. I'll tell you, I've learned this from the natural. You work with people and their personalities, how they are. Well, you have a personality, you have a soul. God knows how to get by and get things across over to you. And this is where you got to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can work in you, and I've learned this thing, and I've learned some of this. Hey, I'm no expert. There's people sure, I'm sure, Sure, I hope so. There's people who know more about it than me. But I'm sure there is. There's people. But it's cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because you got to know His great need. And what we have to do and what we have to say. So one thing is, I learned there's a lot of things I got revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, even concerning things about the end times, because I refused to listen to what men had a lot of confusing things. And I said, no. I said, Lord, if you don't show me, I ain't paying no attention to what they're doing. See, people out here keep looking for somebody to tell them, and that somebody's in the inside. And they don't fellowship with the guy on the inside. He didn't reveal things to me because I'm supposed to be the great teacher of the end times. He reveals those things because I wanted him to show. I want to know. I want to be taught by you. Men are teaching. And I found out some men were teaching by the Holy Spirit, but many weren't. Many weren't teaching by the Holy Spirit. They were just passing on what they heard from somebody else. They had given you a book report. And they called themselves, they called themselves prophets because they studied prophecy. What on earth is that nonsense? He has a prophetic message. No, he had a pathetic message. That's what that was. Telling something about what prophecy... You can't teach the Bible without prophecy. The Bible's filled with it. I mean, everybody's... You know, it's like, don't get... See, people get into the ridiculous. No, people say, well, what are you called to do? I don't know. I wonder sometimes. I am... This is what I've come to. I don't care about titles. I have... Don't tell me what you are. Show me.
Amen.
I have no interest what you have to say about it. I'm tired of men and their titles. I'm tired of people who say what they are and they don't live up to it. It's like, you'd be better off if you just forgot the title. People wouldn't expect as much. Maybe you could get more done. But no, we got to put our title out there. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a that. It don't matter. I stand more in one office, but I'll tell you what, it's hard for me to figure out what's what. It's hard for me to figure out sometimes what is going on. But there's one thing I know. I don't need to understand all of that. If I listen to the Spirit in me, He'll show me what I need to do and He'll anoint me at what I need to do. You don't have to know your title to get the Holy Spirit to work through you. You just have to listen to Him. He'll make you look good without an office. He'll manifest through you without an office. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to share this with you because we want to talk about the areas. The Lord wanted me to signify some things because dealing with the areas of healing. And I want to read something because it's making sure that we understand Scripture. See, some of the church world, you know, some people put all the emphasis on the blood. We're singing blood songs. That's good. But people put everything and put the emphasis on just the blood. Well, why? Why did Jesus do the thing with the body? Why? See, we put it on the body. The people say, well, Jesus heals because of the blood and those kind of things. Well, actually, Scripture, you don't find in Scriptures that they laid hands on anybody by the blood. You don't think they didn't do those things. Now, that, and I realize you get over because people, and there's things, I'm not diminishing the blood, but we understand what was for. Because it's always stuck with me of the fact when Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin in one of the visions he had, Jesus appeared to him and talked to him because he had a healing ministry. And Jesus had given him a special healing ministry. Jesus had actually, in a vision, touched his hands. And the power of God, he had a healing ministry. It was a powerful healing ministry. But Jesus said this to him. He said, I did not put the name of Jesus. He said, my name. And He said, gifts of spirit in the church to heal the church. Well, the church... Now, Raymond people still don't. They still don't practice what Jesus preached. They were told. It's not. See, people keep trying to do things for the church on a lower level. The church is supposed to do things on a higher level. Why? We're in communion with God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. The world gets healed through demonstrations of the Spirit that God manifests as the Spirit wills. You and I have much better than that. Our covenant guarantees us healing and deliverance. We have been redeemed from the curse. The world isn't. They need to get redeemed by the mercy of God. They need to get healed by the mercy of God. And that's what this is all about. See, and what God wants you to do is come to the higher level. I want you to see this. Very familiar scripture. 1 Peter 2:24. Now we're going to read this and talk about what it really says. See, throw out every idea of what you thought. Let's read words. Now, who himself, it starts out verse 2, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we be, having dead to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose blood we were healed. Oh. No, it says by his. Now, they use the term stripes here and that stuff. And actually, this is a fulfillment of scripture from Isaiah. See, go to Isaiah. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah's scripture. By his stripes, some translations, it was because he was beaten. It says the wounds that cut in, which would actually be accurate. That's what it was about. It was about, in other words, the church and the covenant of the church is healed by Jesus' beating that he took. Peter didn't say it. The blood on the cross did it. Now, what do we have in here? He bore our sins. He bore our sins, the bloodshed on the cross, for he bore our sins, but by his stripes, his wounds, we were healed. That's why we eat the bread. It's about the body. You were healed, and you're in one with his body. See, it's good we would get a little accurate on some of these things. Why are we doing what we do? We don't want to do it because let's fellowship with God on the level he gave us, not on the level we were told. Let's fellowship with him on the level that he gave. Let's go to that higher level. Let's go to that place. He identifies you in his beating. You got the sickness beat out of you. I'll tell you. You got it beat out of you in Jesus. That's what he said. When you take that communion, you're at one in fellowship with your healing. Mm-hmm. Have you ever come in fellowship with your healing? No, people don't. They keep trying to get it. They don't come in fellowship with it. You're in fellowship with healing. Healing is what you're supposed, it's supposed to be your thought. See, the most Christians, I've used to say this often, it's most Christians, this is healing. You get sick and then you get well. They know very little about staying well because they don't identify covenant. Healing is what I'm in fellowship with. I'm supposed to be in communion. That bread is to remind me. I'm in fellowship with healing. The blood. I'm in fellowship with God. I have no sin. I'm righteous. That's what it's about. Do you see yourself, just like from the blood, do you see yourself in that wonder? Do you see yourself in no sin? No, you just don't understand how bad I get sometimes. You just don't. See, people don't offend. They're not in fellowship with righteousness. They're in fellowship with sin. They're in fellowship with sickness and disease. They don't see it. And the Lord's saying, come on up. You got a covenant. I made this covenant. You come up to the covenant. You talk the covenant and quit talking how you feel about it. Quit talking what somebody else said about it. Come on up to where I put you. See, come up to the level. You know what? It's like people today. Oh, they love their animals more than they love people. And that's where they fellowship at. And you can tell why most people act like animals. Come up to the fellowship. Come on up to the fellowship of God. Quit trying to have the fellowship of everybody else and come up and learn a higher fellowship. Amen. Come up to this wonderful fellowship. He's called you to this. And he told you, we do communion. That's what we're supposed to remind you about. This covenant. Hallelujah. Come on up. Step up to this place he made for you. He didn't say, well, to get into this, you're going to have to be a really great person. Now, if you achieve all these great things, then you can get there. Well, if you did, then we should stay away from the communion table. This is the church. Everything's about works. It's the works. If we real get real good and we get real sincere, God will move. God's going to move whether you get sincere or not. Why would Jesus tell Kenneth Hagin, many of my people won't be ready to meet me by coming if everybody had to get sincere to get him here? It's ridiculous. I've learned this long ago. God's done a lot of wonderful things in spite of Ed. Sometimes I thought, my God, I sort of had the blocks up to stop that, and he did it and blessed me anyway. Hallelujah. Let's step up to that place. See, the natural mind says to you, well, I can't believe that unless I can see it. Well, forget it, you'll never get there. God says, you come in fellowship. You come in fellowship with the body. Hallelujah. That all your sicknesses and diseases, everything, his stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. You were beaten. You were in him. Hallelujah. You kept the, he sort of wants to be like the old Timex commercial. You know, you take a beating and keep on ticking, you know. Take a licking and keep on ticking. Well, that's what it is. You took the licking so you could keep on ticking.
Amen.
The church is trying to continually take the licking. And if we can arrive to this place, maybe we'll get where we can tick again. See, no. See, communion's you to identify. Identify where you're at. Identify where you're at. Enjoy where you're at. Say, well, I've missed it. Who cares? He didn't say, well, if you missed it, you can't go there. If you missed it, well, pick up wherever you can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right now, today, you might think, well, I haven't really walked in that and I've done this. I believe. Don't matter. You know, change to another time. Change to today. The gospel of salvation is for today.
Amen. That's right.
It don't matter. You know what? What happened? What I did from the time I got born again up to now, the only thing that matters from here on is today. What am I going to do today? My tomorrow can't be nothing without today. Everybody's trying to figure, let's go sit together and have some good psychological talk about all our past mistakes and where we've missed it and try to get healing. Say, well, go to that place, but you're going alone. I ain't going along with you. That isn't where we're going. You need to change today. See, I'm going on from here. What I was, it doesn't matter. My God's a God of now and the future. He's not the God of the past. I can read about things of the past, but those things of the past, he's telling us that Israel, don't go there. He's not telling us to go visit it. Hallelujah. So it don't matter where you're at. I just want to encourage you with that today, though. He told me to just share that with you. When you take that, fellowship. You have the fellowship with him. Fellowship with that body which was given for you. Hallelujah. Fellowship with the blood. Hallelujah. Fellowship. See yourself as righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Seeing yourself in line. Hallelujah. Sin's gone. And it's one song, a couple of songs that we sing, they trouble me a little bit, you know, by being under the blood and all this. You're not under the blood, you're changed. Get yourself over the thing. You're not covered with the blood of Jesus. You're not covered with the blood. The blood removed sin from you. Hallelujah. You became a new creation. You became a new creation. See, it talks about the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. See, we were regenerated. We're not the old thing anymore. There's a regeneration that took place. Let's live in the regeneration. Let's live in this revelation that we're in fellowship and with Jesus and seeing ourselves in him. Now, we're not patting ourselves on our back, you know. I didn't get sin free from Ed Gibson not ever doing anything wrong. God gave you his righteousness. I mean, when you sit here today, and we take these elements, God said that you have his righteousness. Most people will always approach God on their righteousness. I found a long time ago, you're always going to have faith problems. Because your righteousness ain't ever good enough. I can approach God because I have God's righteousness. God said we're as righteous as he is. Say, well, I just can't get my head around that. I ain't never got a head around it. Don't matter. I'm going to get my head around it. I'm only required to believe it. If I will believe it and live that thing, hallelujah. Say, well, how could you think you're righteous as God is? Because the Bible says so, you idiot. See, I've heard ministers say, well, how can you think you're as righteous as God? Say, well, the Bible said it. How could you think you're not? That's what I want to know. And it's only because you became God and you said it. We're supposed to believe him. He's God. You can't achieve it. Well, I just want to tell you, you achieved it whether you want to believe it or not. When you accepted Jesus, you became as righteous as God. Whether you want to accept it or not, get over it. You know, it's like getting adopted into a family of billionaires and saying, you know, I'm still poor. I'm just the poor. The whole time, you know, you bought the Ferrari and you're driving it, but I'm so poor. That's absolutely stupid. You're righteous because God made you that way.
Hallelujah.
These elements are for the righteous.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, if you didn't have God's righteousness, you have no right to this. God's righteousness is why you and I can come boldly. Hallelujah. You can come holy, dear God. Hallelujah. Fellowshipping with the same body that delivered you. You're in one with that body. You're delivered. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to move these things over here. We're going to have the communion elements. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Blessing and honor. Blessing and honor.
Praise God. Let's just take this according to the Word today. This is a representation of the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now understand, Jesus had no sin. That's why we have this as unleavened. There's no leaven in this. There's no baking soda or anything like that. This is a flour and water thing. Matzos that the Jews use the crackers. They do these things, big things. But the whole point of it is, see, you're identified with the sinless body. The body that you're... See, our sin was laid on him. He didn't have no sin. See, if Jesus had sin, then this whole thing of this wafer is a fraud. It's not the whole point of it. And he said, that he took your sin and he says, by his stripes you were healed. Now, so we're identifying with his body. We put this in our mouth. When we put this in our mouth and eat it, we should be, we'll be becoming one. If we believe it according to Scripture, we're becoming one with healing. Healing's one with us. Because what you eat becomes one with your body. That's why he tells you to eat it. You're one with it. You're one with healing. See, get that thought. See, many people want to go from, I'm going to go to sick to well. Is number one, is to live a life with health and soundness. The church people never go to that. Because you'll be taught, well, you're just going to have to be sick, you're just going to have to be this, you're going to have to be that, you're going to have this going to happen to you, and this going to happen to you. And that's what we're taught. And we made it work, didn't we? Our faith has made all this. When God, the whole time, understand this, we're 2,000 years this thing's been going on, and the church still ain't got caught on. You today, see yourself. Will you take this and eat it? And you say it to yourself. I'm one with healing. I'm one with health with Jesus' body. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. That's what he did. He did that. See, you don't change your mind overnight. You don't. It takes time. It takes a way of thinking. See, we have a way of thinking and we said wrong things for so many years that you got to get back around this thing. We're saying, hallelujah. When I'm taking communion, when I take that bread, hallelujah. I'm one with health. I'm going to fellowship with health today. I'm fellowshipping with a sound body today. That's what I'm going to fellowship. I'm fellowshipping with the one who's given that to me. That's what I'm fellowshipping with. Father, I want to thank you. We believe the word's true. And we believe, Lord God, hallelujah, that if you gave us this element and you told us about becoming one. And we're supposed to do this as often as we do it, is remembering you. Jesus, we're remembering you. We're remembering you, the one who took stripes for us. And we believe it's true. And we got your righteousness. And we take this according to you has given it from Scripture. By your stripes we were healed. We, right now, become in one with healing that you have given us. Hallelujah. By taking our sickness and diseases on yourself. And we just want to say, thank you, Lord, for giving us health. In Jesus' name, take it and eat. You know that Scripture says in First Peter 2:24, it says at the end, he said, he died to sins. He said, for this purpose, we might live for righteousness. He didn't say you didn't live to be righteous. He said you live for righteousness. See, that's what you can live for what you are. You can't live for what you ain't. He said that you might live for righteousness. See, that's for faith. See, faith. Righteousness is by faith. See, you can live for righteousness, God says so. But the Old Testament says this, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But in actuality, that's not the church. That's under the Old Covenant. Sin was remitted. Our sin is removed. People say, well, Jesus shed his blood. When we talk about forgiveness, that he's saying to you, well, okay, I'm not going to hold it against you. That's not at all what the New Testament is about. It's not about that at all. The New Testament's about when Jesus was raised from the dead, he died to sin. He was raised to righteousness. He was. You can't be raised to righteousness if he wasn't. He was. In the same manner, by faith, when you accepted Christ, you died to sin. In other words, the old man's dead. The life of the past is dead. It's gone. You have been raised to righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. You were raised. You're a new being. You're not the same one anymore. See, I was heard, and even I hear it even among spirit churches, they talk about, well, the old man tries to rise up. They shouldn't say those things because they're incorrect. What they're talking about is the flesh, and they should we clarify. You still have flesh, but the old man can't rise up. The old man no longer exists, or you are not born again, and you're not a child of God. My old man can't rise up. The old man died. And that's why we renew our minds so we can bring our flesh under. But the old man can't come back. He's dead. God's not a liar in what he said he did. Paul wrote and said, you died. He said he died. His life's been hidden with Christ in God. Gee, why don't you join him? The church don't join it. They act like still we're something on the outside. They missed the whole point of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus removed the nature of sin from men. Not far as east from the west, it don't exist. You can head east or west as far as you want, you'll never run into Ed's sin of his past. You can't ever find it. It ain't in the east and it ain't in the west. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ took care of it all. Hallelujah. You're righteous. Get over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. For doing for us what we could have never done for ourselves and did it with such glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, it's written in Scripture about us knowing the glory that's in us. Hallelujah. The glory that's in us. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ changed everything. And we thank you, Lord God, as we take this today, we declare we're one with the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're not at one with sin. We're at one with righteousness. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Take it and drink.
And wisdom.
The church I went to as a kid, you know, growing up, and even some churches still do that, they don't have children take communion. I think Christian parents ought to have their children in the taking communion. They should. And they, you know, they wouldn't. Well, they tried to keep it from God as long as they could. See, religion don't call people in. It holds them out.
That's right.
It does. It holds them out, you know. It's only for the select few, you know. And usually their select few ain't in it. It's messed up. But we do. Children can learn our practice and the purpose of our practices and that stuff and that thing. You know, God can speak to little children. You know, I was about 4 years old and I was in a service and my mother told me after I got born again. I hadn't remembered it myself, but she said, they used to do altar calls and that stuff. And I had told her I wanted to go to the altar. I was about 4 years old. I said, I want to go to the altar. I want to accept Jesus. And she told me, she said, I told you, you were too young and didn't understand. You didn't know. I don't give a rip if they don't understand or know. Don't ever inhibit a child from doing anything going toward God. Because you may pay for it in your life dearly. See, God can reach people outside of our mentality. Out of our mentality. See, we have people, I mean, I know we're dealing with a Christian school. And they had the idea in a Christian school that, you know, I was told by the principal of the school, who was the principal at that time, they didn't believe that their children, they were in elementary age, they didn't believe that their children, they would understand about how to accepting Jesus. They didn't believe they could. They said, no, they'll have to do that later in life. And I thought, man, the weenie God you got. The easiest people to bring to Christ. Our kids were the easiest things to bring our kids to Christ. They hadn't been trained for 27 years on false doctrine. Their hearts are still tender toward God and things, and God can speak to children. And they're fun sometimes when we speak to them. I know one time we were in a motorhome. We were coming back from Florida one time in a motorhome, and driving along, and I'll never forget Elena. We were coming over from Charlottesville, Virginia, coming across over, was that 60 or something like that? Coming across there onto there. She's just a little tot. She's sitting in the seat behind me. I'm driving. She's in the seat behind us. The table was there, and they were doing stuff at the table. We're driving along. And she leaned up over the thing, and she said, now she's a little kid. She said, Daddy? I said, yeah? She said, God told me you're supposed to get us some ice cream. But I said, honey, if God said we're supposed to get you ice cream, we're getting you ice cream. I said, we're getting ice cream. We're stopping for ice cream. But you know what? Now I want you to tell you this. She may have heard from God. Now, because of this, it is. No one thinks, because you might think, well, you're so bright in here. First time we went down to Disney World, Wanda and the kids wanted to go down to Disney World, and Ed sure didn't. I didn't want to go. It didn't excite me about going down. I got 2 weeks off work, and it was over Christmas and New Year's, and I was 2 weeks off. I'd take mine at that time, and I said they want to go down there, and I thought, man, I don't want to go down there. See, they wanted to go. They were hearing from God because the Lord. I was praying one night, and I wasn't praying about Disney World. I'm praying away. Well, God's talking Disney World. And he said, you take your family and you take them down to Disney World. So they want to go, you take them. You know, so see, they were hitting on that. And then God told me why. See, it was something that I didn't know. Really, this turned out to be a test for me. A test. And I flunked it. I'll tell you how I did. God said to you, well, number one, I know if you want to go down, it's going to take some money. It's going to take money to go down there. And those were like the days we weren't rolling in money. I mean, but God said to go. And there's one thing with me. I don't care what it is, how people thought about it. When I go, I ain't going cheap. I don't like these, get by, called vacations and you can't spend no money and you can't go there and I just don't go on vacation with me. If you got a tight, well, maybe some people have to be tight for some reason, but I've been around people and they don't have to be, but they get real tight. And it's like, you go on vacation with me, we spend money. It's number one. What is it a vacation if you can't have as good as you got at home? It's like, it's nuts. That wasn't a vacation. To me, always vacations, and I always took my family on good vacation. We went to vacation. We didn't run all the time on vacation. When we went on vacation, it was a good one. We always have fun, do a lot of stuff. And then come home and figure out how you're going to pay all this all the time. But anyhow, I told the Lord what I wanted out of this thing, and I went through this. That's the thing where I told him, and then all this stuff came up. God just blessed us really hard. We had a great time, had plenty of money to spend, and it was really like God did a wonderful job on this thing. We spent a lot of money, but we didn't spend money. We didn't pump a bunch of money out, and have to pay it back. I mean, God brought the money in. And then, so here it is in January. So January is my birthday and stuff, and things come up. And God gives me this really good birthday present. And one day I'm at work on my job, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me very clear. He said, this year I want you to go to Rhema. I said, what? He said, I want you to go to Rhema. I want you to go to Bible school. I want you to go to Rhema. And here's brilliant Ed. Well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have spent all that money going down to Florida. He said, that's why I didn't tell you sooner. See, you need to understand. See, everybody's trying to plan everything for the future. You don't know much about faith. Today, we have got faithless people. We're putting everything about the future. See, he wanted me to have to trust him to go to Rhema. You know what? Rhema, I can do nothing but give God the glory. It wasn't me. He did so much for us. It wasn't me and my great wisdom. We were out there and blessed like crazy. And it was by obedience and using our faith, and God responded to our faith, and just wonderful stuff happened. See, everybody wants to go with a bank account. Everybody wants to go, in the ministry. I mean, I've even had them, now they preach at Rhema, if you're going to go out in the ministry, like at a field ministry, you ought to have so much money in the bank before you go, and you ought to have all this. They're doing all this stuff. See, everybody's turning, and it's not just them. It's just, it's the culture of America's in the church. Because God can't take care of you. You have to get it all fixed up because faith don't work further than your bank account. Did you know that? Well, don't find it out if you didn't know. Because it's a terrible doctrine. People don't like... See, what he wanted me... He wanted me to walk by faith. See, I got on my mind and my thinking about, well, if I have to do this, this is important. It was just as important for them to go on that trip as it was for me to go to Rhema. Who would ever... You won't hear that preached in a church. Oh, no. Going to Disney World can't be as much important as Bible school. Well, God put it first. You tell him about it. He told me, he said, they won't get a vacation like this for a while, and I want you to take them. I never even thought about what he meant when he said they weren't going to go. He said they won't get for a while. But it never dawned on me that he said that. But I looked back and I said, he said that. He said he won't get to go. So in other words, we needed to do that this time for them. Because see, there's a big change coming from them. He wanted them to know that he loves them. Many kids don't know their parents love them because of their tightness of their parents, of the way their parents deal with things. Ministry never came before my family. Ministry don't come. You can't do that. You cannot do that. But it's done all the time. That's why many ministers' kids grow up and don't have nothing to do with the ministry. No one have anything. God loved my family. Had more good sense about it than I did. And a lot better sense than you have. See, we are. What's he interested in? That's where taking. That's where fellowship. And I wouldn't have known those things except by the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have known. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He keeps dumb people like me out of trouble. Hallelujah. And he'll keep a dumb person like you out of trouble too. Hallelujah. He's smart. Glory to God. Well, I hope you learned something today. I did. There's some things that I said today and I thought, man, I needed to hear that. I just, you know. Because there's some things about the past and think, Lord, if you come up to ask me sometime in these stories to tell you things, I wouldn't remember what they are. It's really strange. Sometimes I sit there and I'm trying to think of certain things I want to use for an illustration. I'm trying to think of things and it's like nothing fits. And I get up here and preach and all of a sudden I know all this. That's the Holy Ghost at work. He brings to your remembrance things. He brings things to your remembrance about stuff. Hallelujah. Well, if anything you got this week, God likes you. He wants to move for you. Hallelujah. You're one with Him. Fellowship with Him this week through the Holy Spirit. Start finding ways to rely more and more on the Holy Spirit working in you and talk to you. Let Him reveal things to you. Let Him show you things. Hallelujah. In the Word, it'll just delight you. Hallelujah. Turning on the light. There's nothing more wonderful when you're sitting down reading the Bible and the light comes on. And it's like, oh my, I can see that. Hallelujah. And when it happens, oh, give glory to whom deserves it. And ain't your brilliant mind. Hallelujah. But you do. Now look, you have the mind of Christ. And He's in you. He's called the Holy Ghost. Have a glorious, glorious, glorious week.